Tonight, coming to the third part of this little series on us forgiving, we're going to look at the practicality of it. How do we do it? How do we do it? I'm not going to pretend to give you a sort of DIY. Here's how to forgive, follow these steps and it'll all be great. But I'm going to thoughtfully give you some points that hopefully will challenge you. And if you're able to note them down or whatever, because it's good for us to take an audit in our lives about the people around us and think, are we actually in a state of not forgiving someone? And then what do we do if we find that we are? So the verse that we read in Luke 4, this is in the English Standard Version, which is like the footnote of the NIV, where it is, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And in Luke's version, it's different words. So there's the word for sin. We're asking God to forgive us our sins. But then it's about like debt, when we ourselves are in a relationship with other people in our community and they owe us stuff and we owe them stuff. And it's saying we are the people who don't keep a tally of that. We don't keep account of our debts. We don't have people we feel owe us something. We let that go. And we ask God to do the same. So, forgiveness. How do I forgive? You've come to the end of 2024. I'm quite sure there are people throughout this year who've rubbed you up the wrong way. I'm quite sure there are people throughout this year who maybe on one occasion done something really unpleasant to you and really hurt you. And I'm quite sure as well that there are people going right back down through your years of life that you can go back to. Maybe even in your childhood. Significant people. People in your family. People who had authority in your life in different ways. Who have wronged you, and sometimes they may have wronged you very, very seriously. And it may be that in 2024 you may still be dealing with 1974, if you've been around that long, or 2014 or whatever. And also, we're about to start a new year, and we want always to begin the new year with a freshness. And we know, of course, it's impossible. We can't change ourselves. We need the Lord Jesus to work by the power of His Spirit in our lives to make any kind of change possible. But it's great if we can begin the new year with a sense of, yeah, I'm at peace with these people now. I have forgiven them. A wonderful place to be in. So just recapping the last couple of times. 2 weeks ago, I just wanted to show the difference that forgiveness made. And so for me, it was a very personal thing and something I've not really ever done before. And that was, I told the story of me forgiving my father, my alcoholic father. And I told the story in quite a bit of detail about the stages that took me ultimately to being able to do that, having been a minister here for 6 years at the time, and the change and transformation that made in my life as a result, by way of encouraging you to think that even though you may have long-standing issues in your life with people in the past, and you know you haven't really forgiven them, that you still can. And if you do, it won't just transform your relationship with that particular person, whether they're still alive or not, but it will transform your life to really forgive deep hurt. And last time I also was just thinking about how people have arguments about why they shouldn't forgive. I won't go into detail, but we say things like, well, it's been like this for so long, it won't make any difference. Yes, it will. Well, they're not sorry, so why should I forgive them? Well, it doesn't matter what they're thinking, we should forgive them. We're handing over to God, them over to God to deal with them but we forgive them. And then some people say, well, I'm not going to forgive because then justice won't be done. You know, it won't, it'll be like letting them off the hook. Justice is always done. It's always done by God. It's not for us to do any justice. And then finally the argument, but then I won't get even. I won't be able to have my day when I can really lay into them, or where I can really set the record straight and really humiliate them or whatever for what they've done. Well, we're not allowed to do that. We're commanded to forgive. And forgive is what we must do, and not try to get even. And so we must forgive. And there's a couple of verses, we read one of them in the readings, a couple of verses that really bring this home very powerfully. Paul writes to Ephesians, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Well, if he just said that, it would be challenging enough. But then he says, just as in Christ God forgave you. And notice this is the opposite of the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, we're praying, forgive us, for we also forgive. But this is saying, this is saying that we are forgiven by God, and therefore we forgive others. God's forgiveness ultimately comes first, and it's important for that. And that's how we should understand the Lord's Prayer. Whatever we may think Jesus may seem to be saying, he is not saying that God only forgives us when we've completely got perfect in our forgiveness of other people. This is telling us that's not what it is, because God forgives us first so that we can forgive. And the same in Colossians 3, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So again, it's putting God's forgiveness first. We are forgiven so that we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us to enable us to forgive other people. And the standard for forgiveness there is God's forgiveness of us. So it's a very great and high standard. It's a complete forgiveness. So it's good to understand the forgiveness of God. Because if you think of God's forgiveness as a kind of grudging thing, whereby he only just lets you kind of get a wee bit of rope, a wee bit of leeway, a wee bit of freedom when you've done wrong, then that's the kind of forgiveness you're liable to try and offer to other people. But if you understand God's forgiveness as being, it's done, everything is completely and utterly forgiven from the moment that you receive Jesus Christ, and that's it, then that's the kind of forgiveness that we should be offering to others. I have wondered whether to spend time on this verse, because it's quite difficult. I'm not going to spend time on it. Yeah, I've got some notes here for it, but there's too many other things to think about tonight. But Jesus said this, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you read that, if you just take it simply at face value, it would seem to say that, I've got to be perfect in my forgiveness. If there's anyone I haven't forgiven, I won't be forgiven by God, and I'll be lost. The verses we've just looked at show that that's not how to understand what Jesus is saying here. And we could look at it in more detail. But certainly, it's more likely that what it means is, you know, if we don't allow others to experience forgiveness from us, then we ourselves will have a mean experience of God's forgiveness towards us. So the more freely we give, the more freely we receive, and vice versa. If you want to go into that in more detail, then ask me and we'll maybe do it another time. So how do we forgive? Just one more caveat before we think about that. You know, this can be really serious, and you may have things in your life that you have already had to forgive, or you may want to forgive, that are actually criminal, where someone has treated you in a way that is actually criminal. And where also you may be concerned that that person, having done that to you, may do the same thing to someone else. And really that's where you need to take advice from the right people, perhaps in your family, people who know what's happened, or perhaps from a trusted pastoral friend or whatever, and maybe involve as well the police. And there are times for that in this, notwithstanding forgiveness, which is still something we must do. It doesn't stop us from being responsible to try to make sure that whatever bad happened to us doesn't happen to other people. Okay. So now, here we go. 11 steps to forgiveness. It was 12 steps, but then I realised that two of my steps were pretty much the same, so I made them one, which kind of spoiled the 12, because 12 is a nice biblical number for completeness. So we've got 11 steps, but if you want an extra step, just add pray, because we need to. And the first step is that. Here we go. Pray. If you're going to forgive people, then prayer is so much going to be part of that. We have to pray for God's help, because forgiving someone can be one of the very hardest things that you will ever be called to do as a Christian. And so we need to pray, and we need to understand why we should forgive. We need to speak to God about forgiveness, arm ourselves with arguments about why forgiveness is so important and why we want to forgive, why we don't want to be living lives that are not in close fellowship with God because there's this wrong in our heart that we haven't forgiven someone. Lord, we don't want to be like that. We want to be close to you, and we want to forgive because our Savior forgave, and he went to such great lengths to make forgiveness possible for us. Please help us to forgive. Pray about this thing. It's a very, very, very important matter that we do forgive, and we need God's help. The second thing is, often if we've been wronged, all we can focus on is the other person's wrong. Step back. Step back from it. You also need forgiveness. And it's really important to see that before we think about trying to forgive someone else, or maybe think about, I don't want to forgive that person. Because in the Lord's Prayer, we are not just praying about us forgiving other people. We're asking for forgiveness for ourselves. We need forgiveness. I need forgiveness. I mean, need forgiveness for you, from you. You may have things in your life, you're thinking, Roddy's all very well standing up there talking about forgiveness, but, 3 weeks ago, he said that to me. Or 10 years ago, he wasn't there when I needed him, or whatever it was. And, so I need forgiveness, you need forgiveness, but we need forgiveness from God all the time. And we must be absolutely clear about this. It's not something that is just an occasional thing. Like, the Lord's Prayer is a daily prayer. It's about daily bread. It's about daily forgiveness. We need forgiveness. And last time we saw that forgiveness is possible. We saw how the judge who would mete out the punishment instead took the punishment. By his stripes we are healed. The punishment that brings us peace was upon him. Amazing. The gospel is amazing. There is forgiveness, but we need it ourselves. And in thinking about needing forgiveness, it may help you to sympathize with the person that you're going to forgive. Because it may help you to see that that person, like yourself, is not perfect. And that there may be very strong reasons why that person behaves the way they do behave. And their background may be very, very disadvantageous to them and may cause them all kinds of difficulties. Their personality may be very different to yours. And the stresses and pressures they may be under may be almost intolerable. We need to recognize in forgiving a sympathy for other people. For when we are under pressure and stress, when we are sometimes expressing our personalities or our background or the brokenness of our lives, we hurt others. Well, it's not surprising when others do the same towards us. So we need forgiveness. We need to recognize this. And we need to recognize the sympathy that should give towards those who are going to forgive. So the third thing, who is it that you need to forgive? Now, if I ask the question, is there anyone in your life that you need to forgive tonight? Be unusual if no one came to your mind. It would be. It might be a really big thing that's obvious. It might be just something small from this morning. But it would be very unusual. Or you must be a very sainted and very exceptional person to be able to live in a state of total forgivingness all the time. If I say to you, is there anyone that you need to forgive? There may be maybe several people that will come to mind. Identify who they are. Now listen to your own heart in this. Like, are there people you're dwelling on? That you're kind of brooding over because of the hurts they've caused you? Then you need to forgive them. God says, forgive. As God in Christ forgave you, you have to do it. It's part of your Christian privilege and duty to forgive others. Who is it? So maybe now you're actually thinking about a person. And maybe then we want to actually be clear about what they did wrong, what they're doing wrong, or maybe many things they've done wrong, but we want to be clear about it. In other words, let's try and name what it is that is wrong, so that we don't just sort of have this kind of general feeling of I don't really like them, but actually have a real clear sense of what is it that this person is doing or has done to me. You know, name it. Get clear in your mind what is the actual sin, the wrong. And it has to be sin. You know, that's what we're forgiving. We're forgiving sin. We're not forgiving that the person just has a different dress sense to us. You know, we're not forgiving, you know, that they just have a loud voice. People are different. It's not a sin to have a loud voice or, you know, to have no dress sense or to have, you know, flamboyant dress sense or whatever. We're looking about sin. Sin is what we're forgiving. What sin have they committed against you? That's what you're trying to identify. And set that in your sights as you're praying. Remember, prayer, 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 prayer. And then, the fifth thing, you've got to accept that you must forgive. Now, this may be really difficult, because in your heart you may be saying, I just can't do it. Because every time I approach this person, my thoughts, and I just start churning up. I start going over this thing. I start getting upset. I start coming at it with my own arguments and how I want to fix it and so on. That's not what you're doing here. You're wanting to forgive them. And so it's going to be difficult maybe, but you have to do it. And it's forgiveness you're aiming at. It's not what you want. It's not how you want it to turn out. It's not how you want to fix things. It's not how you want to put right or how you want to put them right. It's none of that. It's forgiveness. The church is meant to be, as we sang, a place of fellowship. Us is indeed the home and our neighbourhoods, our communities, places of fellowship. And the Lord's Prayer is a prayer for the family. We don't pray as individuals. We say, Our Father, forgive us our sins, and help us to forgive those who sin against us. So there's a sense of we're doing it together, and we're doing it for one another. So forgiveness might be great for me to do, but it'll also be great for the fellowship. It'll also be great perhaps for my home, or it'll be great for my workplace where there's that particular difficult colleague or whatever. Forgiveness is a benefit to everyone, and in the Lord's Prayer it's the family that benefits when the individual forgives. But forgiveness is what we must do. We must accept that. Nothing else is going to fix this. We must forgive. And then, I'm back to prayer again. I mean, I could add prayer in several times. Pray for help to forgive. You know, keep praying for help. And maybe you need to enlist other people, sensitively, obviously, the right people. And maybe there's some really close friend that is discreet and confidential in their dealings, and just share, "I'm struggling about this. Will you come alongside me? Maybe pray, be with me as I try to pray this through, and maybe they can guide you through it." Pray for help. Now we're getting to the heart of things. Here's part of forgiveness. Hand over to God your desire to get even. Because not forgiving is the desire to make people face the consequences of the wrong that they've done to you. You want them to face it. You want them to be sorry. You want them perhaps to hurt. You want them to feel the pain. You want them to get their comeuppance, as we sometimes say. Maybe to get some kind of punishment of some kind. You want that. That's what you want, and you know, that actually nurtures your sense of unforgiveness towards them. Hand it over. None of that is for you. It's not for you. It's not for you to try to get even. It's not for you to try and make them face what they've done. That's not your calling. Never. Mustn't ever try to do that. That will only make things worse. That will only end up in an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It will only end up in retribution. No, you have to hand over to the God who said, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay." You have to do that. You have to absolutely hand over to God the desire that the person who's wronged you will pay for it. You have to hand it over. It's not for you to make them pay. It's not for you to make them hurt or suffer. You've got to let that go. You can thank God for his justice. You can thank God that he'll do right. But the burden of trying to get that person to come good over the wrong they've done, and maybe grovel at your feet and say sorry, or maybe get a taste of their own medicine or whatever, that is not yours to do. Absolutely not. It's something you place into the hands of God. "Lord, I take out of my hand all of that desire to get even. It's not for me. I give it to you. And I thank you that you can deal with it justly." And now, can you give thanks for this person? Give thanks for them in as many ways as you can. Perhaps especially in the areas in which they've hurt you. Now, sometimes people hurt you trying to do the thing they're meant to be doing. You know, like in the workplace. The colleague is trying to do their job, but they're maybe not great at dealing with people. And so the way they do deal with you is perhaps bullying or intimidation or something like that. And really they're trying to do their job. Can you find the places in the badness of the situation that you can still give thanks for? "Thank you, Lord. Thank you that my colleague really does want to do their job well. Thank you, Lord, for that person, for their lives. Thank you for the good times. Thank you for the chat we had the other day where it was all okay. You know, thank you for the ways in which I do still manage to love them or be civil to them or whatever. And thank you, Lord, for the time, the good days when they're not so nasty or whatever it is. But thanksgiving, thanksgiving. Pour that thanksgiving on all of these things. You'll notice I'm not giving you lots of scripture references here. It's because we don't have time, really, to do all that. But I want to just get through. Give thanks. It might be really difficult. It might be even feel physically sick to try and give thanks for someone who's been so bad. How do you give thanks for a father who's been an abusive alcoholic? How do you do that? But you can't. You can get your heart to that place with the help of the Holy Spirit. You can actually. You can see things that you didn't see at the time. You can see that even while they might choose the pub rather than their little boy, they still love the little boy. You can see that. You can give thanks. Find thanksgiving in the situation. And then, pray for good instead of bad. Now pray for the person positively. Lord, and watch this, because you might end up praying for, you know, God to kind of fix them in some way, the way you want them fixed. Don't do that. No, we're just praying for God's blessing, for God to show his love for them. It is to their family, perhaps their wives or their husbands or their sons or their daughters or whatever. Pray for God's blessing upon them, that they will know what it is to have God's mercy and forgiveness in their lives and in every area of their life, and perhaps in areas that cause them to behave the way they do, that hurts others, you know, that God would bring healing to them. Pray positively for people. I see all of these things, these last few points, they're really hard. Really hard if your unforgiveness is deeply rooted. And this is why you need to keep going at it, like Jesus just kept going day after day to win our forgiveness and to be able to come to the point where he was being crucified and still be able to say, because he kept his heart free of unforgiveness all the way along, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." You know, so really, you want to be at that point where you can really say it out. Not necessarily the person. You might not involve them at all, because it might not be good for you to say it. It might not be good for them to say, "I forgive you for that thing you did." That might just not go well at all, because they won't see things the way you do. But before God, you can say it. "I forgive her. I forgive her. Father, I forgive. Thank you for them. Bless them. Father, I totally have handed over to you every desire of my heart to put them right. I leave it all with you. I forgive completely." Might be easy, might not be. And the final point, repeat. Because you might get to this point and next week you're still needing to do it again. It's still there. Repeat. Now, last night I tried to do this myself, just went through this with one person particularly in mind. And despite the fact that my brain isn't working very well just now, because I'm not well and I'm being pumped full of antibiotics, I was still able to get great relief just in that one thing, just thinking about a particular person, just going through these steps. Just, I wanted to sort of test run them before I told them to make sure they work. And I was actually thinking, you know, I need to, I mean, these can be honed, these can be made much better, of course they can. But it's good to have that, you know, maybe written somewhere so that you can actually just go through it. It's a bit like when someone has fallen into addiction and they've got a 12-step recovery program to go to, and they can just say, "Right, well, I've blown up. I've really blown up. Right, back to step one and start again." And that's great, because they know what to do, and it can help them back to a place of you know, sobriety, of being free again. Well, this is that kind of thing. But about forgiveness, like I say, you may be able to hone it and improve it, and I'm sure that I could spend more time on it too. But just, this is the heart of it. It's where you come to that place where you can bless those who curse you. Bless and do not curse. Where you can love your enemies. It's coming to that place where you can forgive as God in Christ forgave you, and knowing the joy of it in your life. Because if you really do this, and even if you begin to start to get a hint of this, you'll feel your heart change. Your heart will change. It may be that you will find it easier to speak to the person. Maybe you'll be able to just greet them. You'll be able to sense the power of the Spirit to love them properly. To come closer to them. Be more concerned about them. Pray for them and so on. They may not themselves be able to understand what's happening. And they may continue to try to hurt you. And it may be better sometimes just to just keep apart from them. You'll know what's right. But if you follow through this kind of thing and come to a real place where your heart is changing and you're getting to a place of forgiveness and you're letting go of your addiction towards retribution, towards getting even, that horrible flesh thing that we all have that wants to make them pay. You're getting free from that. Your heart's been purified of that. And you're able instead to love people. And the desert that is your heart is beginning to blossom. To use Isaiah's picture, it's beginning to blossom like the rose. Something beautiful is happening within you and transforming you. I hope this is helpful to you. It's helpful to me, and it's going to be helpful to me. God willing, as long as I'm still on the go on this planet, I want to keep coming back to this, and I've got one or two other people in mind. None of you, I might add, but one or two other people in mind that I really need to apply this to. When I'm feeling a bit better and my head's a bit clearer, I really want to kind of bring this all to God. Because there is nothing like, you know, the joy of having had a dry heart and feeling that heart melt and feeling the moisture and then the life and the blossom and the flower and the fruit coming into our lives. So God bless us and help us all as we end this year to deal with the debts, not to collect any, but to let them go and to forgive and to look forward and to be determined to forgive whatever we need to, us we need to, all along the way in the year ahead, that we may live in love and freedom to the glory of God.